Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Greatest threats would be radioactive fallout.
Uranium fever.
Where fallout is heaviest, it can even kill those who have not taken proper shelter.
Broadcasting deep underground in a questionably constructed survivalist bunker is Dave Chaffins and Kenneth Vigue, and your host, as always, Mr. Robots. This episode of the Fallout Hub is brought to you by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Open enrollment for advanced robotics courses starts now. Totally nothing sketchy going on. Nope, not at all.
I guess we're live.
Oh, we're here. Who hit the live button?
We're like,
are we live? Are we live? Are we good?
Welcome. We are live.
Welcome, everybody. Somebody hit the live button. I guess we're doing a podcast. Hey,
how did that happen?
We've been stuck in this vault too long, and now we're all of a sudden hitting buttons again, and boom, we're live. Welcome, everybody. This is the Fallout Hub. I am your host, Tom, or Robots, and I am here with my button-pressing friends, Ken, from Shadow Fallout 76 Podcast. Ken, how you doing?
Well.
Well, tell me your feelings, Ken.
You know, Tom, we are 25 days into 2022,
mm-hmm.
and I've
mm-hmm.
seen a lot, my friend.
What haven't you seen?
I've seen the new plague, which is NFTs. You know, it's infected a lot of us. You know, some of our bright shining stars of music.
Yeah, I bought. I posted this on Twitter. I bought Microsoft the other day.
Like the whole company.
Yeah, I paid like $2,000 for an NFT of an image of the news article about Microsoft purchasing Blizzard Activision, which
by
I was
proxy
told
means yeah, you own it.
Tell means that I mean, the person who sold it to me told me that means that I now own Microsoft. So
you do. It's on the block and tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
at any point you can open the tackle box and you know. Your shares are right there.
Yep, right there. And I've been trying to get a hold of everybody else who works for me now. That part hasn't been going as well as I expected. But as soon as I get more information about Starfield, I will let everybody know.
Let us know how the cease and desist gets done.
That I own Bethesda. So, but also we have Dave Chaffins here. But we have to announce him as well. Dave, I've been watching you spackle things on Twitter.
Yeah. I do, yeah. I've been doing some spackling and some joint compounding. I do have an announcement. I have bought a digital space in the metaverse of Fallout 3. I now own the Republic of Dave. anyone who goes there in the game, they're gonna have to pay me a ghost scent.
Dave coin.
Yeah. If you could just like pay me in Dave coin, which are really just those chocolate doubloons that you got from like in kindergarten when you like found some treasure or something and they have like the foil wrapper. That's uh-huh. Dave coin. Which really has, I mean that you know, there's a gold standard there. So
does it have
I'm
a
pretty
big
pleased
D?
With my purchase.
Big D on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Big D on
with
it.
Like a money line through it.
I slapped a big D on it, Tom. Is that what you want to hear?
Dave's got a big D, everybody. So welcome back to the show.
As usual, we're off to a great start.
We're off to our normal.
I do have to warn Dave, though. I lost my shirt in investing in wacky wall walkers back in the day. So, you know, Got to be careful.
Well, your shirt is already off. He's got a big D. It sounds like we are right. We're getting in position for this episode.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
What an awkward segue into Fallout.
Yeah. You know, speaking of anal probes, this episode is going to be about aliens. This episode is
sponsored by anal probes.
So what are we talking about this episode? Well, hey, we've taken a few weeks off. It's been the holidays. I've gotten sick over the last few weeks, so I'm recovering. So if I sound a little funny, I apologize. But we've got an update on the PTS for Fallout 76. We've got our man in the streets, monster in the sheets, Ken, here, has been...
That's a classic. That's a classic joke.
Mutant in the sheets has been out in the field, out in the PTS, taking a look at some alien behinds in order to tell us what's going on with those wacky, wacky Zaytans. And we're going to be discussing that today because we've got a new update on the horizon. We've been looking on that horizon. There's been little lights flying around in the sky, and they're getting closer and closer. But Ken has been up close with our Starfield friends. Is this the link between Fallout and Starfield, Ken?
You know, Tom. Yes. No. What?
No. Yes, no. Yes, no.
Yes,
no.
I was still reeling from the monster in the sheets. You know, before we dig into that, because...
That's a compliment.
As wacky as it is, there was some chatter about, aliens aren't canonical to Fallout. And then,
aliens are 100% canonical.
And then people fighting.
They've been in every Fallout game
so,
ever.
So why don't what might be start? Let's actually start with you, Tom. Let's dig back into the lore and talk about because the models and some of the cool drones, the mothership, all of which we're going to talk about. We experienced that firsthand back in Mothership Zeta.
Yeah. So what you're saying is we're getting a lot of in the PTS stuff that they've been testing. We're getting a lot of the design aesthetic is pulling from the DLC from Fallout 3, yes. Mothership Zeta DLC, which, by the way, if you haven't played, is a very substantial part of the Fallout 3 experience. Because, you know, if you pick up Fallout 3 now, you're going to get all the DLCs, including Mothership Zeta. Mothership Zeta is a solid, 8-hour experience if you play through the whole thing, probably?
I think six, so, 6-8 yeah. hours? I remember it taking like that. A while.
Yeah, and you are whisked away to a mothership. The aliens come and pick you up. And long story short, you break out of the mothership along with a number of other passengers who have been abducted through the years, including hundreds of years previous, and have been captured on this ship, and you get to know them, and you find your way out of the ship, killing a bunch of meep aliens along the way, and in order to escape, right?
Yeah, one of the coolest things, ironically enough, this DLC out of I think any of them is one of the most hotly debated and divisive DLCs I think that Fallout has ever dropped, with the exception of maybe Dead Money coming in second. People have really strong opinions about the Mothership Zeta DLC.
Yeah, either, hey, it's not really Fallout because it's just you on an alien ship, or B, it's some people just don't like it because it's a lot of just corridor shooting aliens is the complaint, typically.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is kind of funny because my wife, of all people, this is like her favorite DLC. Which I think is really interesting because I don't know, in my personal experience, I always find it interesting when my spouse is like, has a really strong feeling about something in a game that we both love. Like that's kind of like it's a big flag. It's like, whoa, I respect her opinion. And so that makes me go, okay, there's something here worth really looking at, you know, like what is it that really makes this stand out for her? And I think for her, it was the fact that it does feel so different from everything else. It's the fact that we're getting, you know, alien tech. And alien tech exists in the games. Like, there's lore behind it. Humans were using alien tech because the aliens had visited Earth, and they were deconstructing and reverse engineering alien tech in order to make some of the equipment that we were using on Earth. That's part of the lore. And in Mothership Zeta, we actually get a look at like other types of alien weapons and some of the things going on in the ships. And we get to see more than just one type of alien. And it kind of expands on this bigger idea of like, okay, who are these beings from another planet that have, in a very B movie kind of way, been monitoring, testing humans over centuries. And it gives us this bigger picture as to how long have they been around. And we find out that they've been around for a really, really long time, because the oldest member of the crew that has been abducted is a Japanese individual from like feudal Japan, hundreds of years in the past, who has been like cryogenically preserved on this spaceship. So they've been around for a while and are either time traveling or are cryogenically preserving people and just keeping them around for some reason. So there's some interesting bits of lore that are all tied up with Mothership Zeta.
See, and I loved playing this DLC because it was so different. I think that's why both that and Dead Money get so much heat, is because they could be like their own standalone mini games. Because they are that distinctly different. UFOs and, you know, fighting invaders from the stars is so classic 1950s. Like, it's such a big part of Americana. And two of my favorite discoveries in there is the plan that the Zetans were going to use Giddy-Up Buttercups to invade. That was a really cool, like, little random thing. And then the other thing actually is a Fallout 76 tie-in, in which one of the, I believe it was the vice president of Vault-Tec, went missing at the Vault 76 construction site. And you pick up one of the interrogation tapes and, you know, the aliens tortured him and probed him to death.
Speaking of probes.
I think that the DLC and the aliens in general build on the fantasy of Fallout, because Fallout is not it's not grounded survival. You can find that in a lot of like grounded survival as in like The Road, very like there is some like
raw grit to it, gritty, right?
There's some wackiness that has been baked in since the beginning. I mean, everyone's running around in like these really obnoxious vault suits, like just from the get, like that seems a little bit out of place. Like, you know, most people be in like a bunch of rags or whatever. Like there is a fantasy to it. And I think bringing in, even in like Fallout 3's time, bringing in more creatures, bringing in and kind of expanding the fantasy of it is an important thing if you want to, you know, make it the property that it is today.
Everything that Bethesda has done has always harkened back to the original two Fallouts in some fashion. And they may have expanded in some directions more than others, but at least they've referenced some core from those original two games. And if you look at the original two games, the core has been a combination of survivalist post-apocalyptic, like the darkness side of that. Like Dave, you know, mentioned, like The Road, that whole, oh my God, the world is ending. Is it even worth surviving? What do we do when everything seems bleak? And then the whole other side of that is the pop culture, 1950s, 1960s, B-movie, pop culture reference side of it, which is totally baked into Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 with references to B-movie sci-fi and all sorts of everything to, you know, from, I can't remember specific names of the films right now, but movies with these like aliens, you know, visiting Earth and abducting people to Blade Runner with the gun from Blade Runner showing up and all of these other films along the way. There's constantly been references to these things in the games. So to take a time out for a DLC to say, okay, let's explore that side of it a little bit more, or to spend a little bit more time in something like Fallout 76 and focus a little bit more on the wacky side of it, which tends to be the case with Fallout 76. It's consistently more wacky with the further we get into Fallout 76, especially with these little updates and the events and things than the core storyline. But you go back and look at the core storyline, and it's pretty dark. The things that happen before we get out of the vault are very dark. Everybody dies. Nobody actually is able to cooperate in order to resist the plague. You know, all of that stuff is very dark. So there's still that balance there.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a really cool death ray that you get to play around with and shoot at the earth, and you don't know where it's going to hit. Could have killed a bunch of people. You don't know, but it's fun to push. To push that button.
It's fun to push the big red button and just watch what happens. I mean, that's the core principle of curiosity.
It makes a fun noise too. It's like pushoom.
So wait. So this is in the PTS right now. There's a death ray.
No. I'm talking about Mothership Zeta.
I didn't know if we transitioned into something that was actually you're able to do in the actual event.
You actually
get a death ray in the event also.
I'm transition ready to do into something to someone's camp other than dropping a nuke on it. Let me have a giant death ray that that I can shoot at someone's camp where it just goes
and then eventually it turns into a 2400 baud modem.
If you have the satellite signal grenade, I mean that's close. That's pretty close to a giant death ray that's going to shoot it at a camp, but not exactly alien. More military tech than anything else.
So we've hit kind of the foundation for this stuff. Now, what else is? Were there some other ideas, some other questions you had, or can we transition? Because I'm excited to find out
now
what is in this update.
So aside from the actual design of the aliens being carried forward, so in terms of their look, you know, they look the same. They have different classifications. There's a Captain Alpha, Captain Omega, General Zeta, and Lieutenant Kappa in terms of different variants. Now, if you got the Fallout 76 survival guide,
are they all sorority girls?
They are.
They're all like, you know, posed up. They've got.
They sell Samoa Zetian Scout cookies.
Uh-huh, okay.
But instead of coconut, it's people.
Soylent cookies.
Soylent Samoa cookies.
Mmm.
Soy
sounds delicious.
Soy Moa
cookies. Yeah.
Soy Moa. Oh my god. That sounds like something The Rock was going to try to sell me for protein intake.
But also the drones that you saw in Mothership Zeta, those cute little flying robots that look like the little hamburger flipping one from Batteries Not Included.
That's a reference.
A movie that nobody outside the 80s has seen.
Oh my God. Everybody younger than 30 is just like, what?
That was my favorite movie. So getting into the event. It's a triggered event that happens every hour on the hour, so kind of like Fasnacht, and the mothership will appear in the sky over a few different places. Each time I did it, it just happened to take place at Charleston, so it hung over the Capitol building, and you're immediately introduced to a man named Homer Saperstein, and we don't know a lot about him now. He's a completely new figure. He has a very unusual way of talking. Like there's something.
Pause. Dave, how does he talk with the name like Homer Saperstein? What do you think he sounds like?
What do I think he sounds like? I think he sounds like this. I'll do my impression. Hello. Me, Homer Saperstein. It's like somebody that is, you know, you play the tape in reverse and then record it and then reverse it.
Like the little midget guy from Twin Peaks?
Yeah, exactly. It's been 20 years. Yeah, that's how Homer Saperstein sounds.
Wow. Okay, I totally didn't expect that accent. Yeah. All right.
Anyways.
how does he really sound?
Not like that at all.
Dreams crushed on the ground.
That was a good one though. That was a good guess.
It was a valiant guess. Mm-hmm. So you meet Homer Saperstein, and the aliens are coming down and installing three different brainwave extractor siphons. So it looks like a monolith, like a little mini thing. It's protected by shields, and it can build up enough power to release a wave that will kill you immediately. So once these things reach a critical mass, it will pashoom out this gigantic wave of energy.
Did you just use pashoom like a verb?
You know, Tom, I may have.
That's amazing.
It will pashoom out and kill you instantly. So the key to that is to actually get the hell out of the way.
Wow.
Each time I played it, it is one of the most fun new events we've had in a while because it's complete insanity. Every time I did it, I had no idea what the hell was going on because the spawn rate of the aliens and the drones and the Pashumi giant monolith siphon thing that's sucking out your brain waves. It was
adjective now?
It was all going... You know what, Tom? Don't grammar check me.
It's a culture. It's the Pashumi monolith. We discovered it in South America. You know, it's down there in the island of Pashumi. When we dug it up, I mean, it just like blew our brains up. It was so great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pashum. How do you spell that?
P-S-S-S-S-S-S-H-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-M.
S-S-S-S. Six S's? All right.
One of them has an umlaut over it. It's important that you pronounce it correctly.
So what does an S with an umlaut over it sound like?
Hey!
Wow. Wow, we're inventing new things.
Yeah, that's a brand new thing. That's a brand new thing right there.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's okay. So,
someone in chat, I'm going to name my next cat Pashumi.
Pashumi.
That's good. Yeah, that's a great name for a cat.
That's hilarious. All right. So the event is just incredibly fun because there's a lot going on at once. So it is the most ridiculous horde event you could ever play. Once you end up defeating all of the lieutenant, the captains, the general...
The sorority girls and the Pashums.
You get rid of the sorority girls by buying enough cookies to make them go away. The general will transport down. And now this is where it gets fun. The general's...
So it's not fun yet?
The general is like in this Gundam armor.
Wait. Did you say Gundam with an umlaut over the U?
I did. I went to IKEA recently, so I'm having trouble deprogramming myself, Tom. All right.
Did you get any models there? Did you like get some Gundam?
I got some Moodles.
Probably the German version.
I got some
Moodles?
I got some Moodles for my furniture.
Wouldn't it be furniture?
Yes.
Oh, I've got dogs barking again. Great. This is the language episode. I love this. This is amazing. All right, go on.
Yep, so the General Zeta comes down. The armor, the way in which they designed his outfit is really, really amazing. It's like, picture the most unique power armor frame you've ever seen. It looks, to me, it looked a little bit like, no one else is going to know this reference. It looked like the Thunder Road from the movie Explorers, because that has that red and white aesthetic with light. Nobody knows this movie.
I don't even know this reference.
This is a
I know most of your references,
coming of age,
but I don't know
River
this one.
Phoenix movie. Come on now. It's the Explorers, damn it. It's called
the Explorers.
No, just Explorers.
Explorers.
Just
Explorers movie.
Classic movie. Come
1980s
on.
Probably, right?
Yes, maybe. If you haven't seen it, it's a great movie.
Explorers.
But the design of the outfit that they came up with is really fantastic.
Wow.
So you can grind
River Phoenix and Ethan Hawke are babies in this. 1985.
Yeah, it was around the same time that they did Stand By Me.
Yes.
Excellent movie. So every hour on the hour, it will appear over a different random location. It drops some great plans, including new variants. I got an alien disintegrator. It'll drop some other cool plans. So that is the event. But there's a few different interesting updates that also dropped related to this. Now, Dave.
Yes.
In your travels across the land, what can you tell me about one man named Indrid Cold?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Indrid Cold I don't have my book on hand. I could pull out the book and start reading the Gospel of Mothman.
This could be an entire podcast by Dave Chaffins.
It could be, and there probably is a whole. I think there actually is a whole Indrid Cold.
I feel like you guys covered this out there.
As like an anticipation of this happening. So Indrid Cold was a being that showed up in Point Pleasant after the Mothman came and had all the Mothman sightings. And it was around the same time that the government was going around. But this man was in this kind of like weird suit and spoke in a very strange accent. And
what did the accent sound like, Dave?
I mean, it's written down.
Oh, you can't
in the
do
movie
an example?
Mothman Prophecies, when they're on the phone, it kind of sounds like this when Richard Gere's talking to him.
Oh, no.
I see that chapstick in your drawer, Richard. So that's what he sounds like. The Indrid Cold went around looking for people who were witnesses, particularly the I forgot if you would have asked me a different day. I forgot the names of the couple that saw Mothman. He was looking for them and went around questioning people in the community, and people didn't like how he looked, kind of like a man that was kind of like melted wax. A lot of the accounts of that. There are other accounts of Indrid Cold being spotted across the West Virginia, up the road from where I am. Apparently he landed in a giant lamp that looked like a sideways chimney.
As one and, does.
Questioned a driver on the road where Point Pleasant was. There's also been sightings of him across like Roswell, a lot of different stuff in the West where it's more alien activity out there.
Because when you land in a giant chimney lamp, you don't stop and buy a map.
Yeah. And when he stopped in that giant chimney, he told this man in telepathy that he was from the Ganymedes system and that he was here to investigate something. People treated him like a hostile entity for the most part. And not very much else is known about him. There's some detailed descriptions and drawings of him, of people that were witness to it. But it was kind of the aftermath of Mothman. It was kind of his role.
And around the same time, too, we also had the Men in Black show up in Appalachia.
Will Smith and the other guy.
Yeah,
it was John Keel that actually named them Men in Black. He was the first person to give them that name, the MIBs.
Yeah, the Men in Black were actually pretty active in Appalachia because they were also the ones that managed the historically managed the Greenbrier bunker that's under, I guess you call it the White Spring bunker in this scenario, but in times like people that own the hotel wouldn't exactly know about the giant vault that housed all of Congress underneath them. And so they would be looking through their books and be like, hey, these employees are being paid a lot. And there's this like missing space that we're just like diverting electricity to. What's that for? And about like when they came to that conclusion, they were visited by men in black suits and they were like, hey, you can't know anything about this. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to accept this.
And then they did a dance number.
Mm-hmm. But they were also there for the Mothman event and the Flatwoods Monster sighting, the Men in Black.
Well, I brought them up because there is a new random encounter that you will find with this update that is dropping in March. It's up on the PTS now. So if you're wandering the roads and it's completely random, so you have to be at one of the random spawn spots in order to come across him. But he's labeled as the emissary. And in the game files, if you actually look at what the character is named in there, the character is named Men in Black or Man in Black. And if you listen and sneak up to him, his dialogue is actually really interesting. One line is Carol memo to the bosses. They have arrived in Appalachia. Carol find out when Venus will be at its zenith. Results positive for Zitanium. Sample acquired for further consideration. Initial contact force numbers currently unknown. Epsilon protocol will commence. The witness is nearby. Intel acquisition and negation will begin momentarily.
Zitanium? Like Zaytananium?
I'm assuming that that's what that is, yeah.
Huh.
We had Ultracite, and now we're getting Zitanium.
So what's unusual about, like, the way in which the person is reporting, they're just talking to nobody. He's just standing in the road talking out loud. And it reminds me almost of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, because Agent Cooper has that that cassette player, and he's talking to the secretary. Yeah. You never see the secretary.
No, but it had that same kind of feel. But that particular, the last line, the witness is nearby, intel acquisition and negation will begin momentarily, is a little ominous. And I couldn't tell if he was referring to me or maybe something else.
You're right, right. Yeah, who are they talking about? And what did they witness?
And the dialogue is random, but the two encounters that I had, one was all of those lines. And you can talk to him and he'll talk for you a little bit. And then he'll wipe your memory. Like, he'll flash. Everything kind of fades away. And then,
like, actual Men in Black, the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, when the fading electricity buzzing thing goes away, like, you know, there's just an empty roadway. The second unusual encounter was the same kind of thing, named the same thing, but the dialogue was completely different and way, way weirder. So the first one, it seems like it's a human agent of some kind, communicating with someone, maybe investigating aliens. The other one didn't talk at all like a human and had really weird dialogue. He was asking things like, when was the last time you laid supine in a field and gazed at the celestial bodies in the sky? Many may not know that when Andromeda Galaxy reaches its peak brilliance, the new age of humanity will begin.
Wait, I mean, that's what I say to people when I randomly run into them at the grocery store.
I mean, that's what IKEA employees say to me all the time.
I don't know why that's so weird. Could you please move out of the way so I can reach the eggs? And by the way, when did you last lay randomly supine on the and gaze up at the stars?
But the dialogue was weird and odd enough that it almost seemed like there's two different versions that you can run into. One that clearly is a human agent and one that clearly has something weird going on there. So you can talk to them, and that second one, the same thing. If you talk to them, they go away. Now, here's where things get interesting. If you attack them, any of them, and kill them, there's a 50% chance they will drop a unique item. And that item is a mysterious key. And if you go back to Black Mountain Ordnance, you go to TNT Dome number 8, and there is now a card reader outside the dome. When you scan that key, the key is instantly destroyed. So once you go in, you can't go back in unless you find another key. Going inside, you actually find an alien autopsy room, and you discover by talking to a stream that it is actually Homer Saperstein's base of operations. And you can talk to him a little bit. He is essentially, he claims to be human. He just announces unprompted that he's a human being just like you, which seems, you know, like the kind of sus thing that an alien would say.
As you steal the gum from the store, you say, I'm not a thief. I'm just borrowing this. It's
like
Thank you.
Like, it's like what Mark Zuckerberg said under testimony in the Senate. I am indeed a human.
Let me assure you, I have all the human parts the same as you.
My Facebook is fresh.
Weird.
Yeah, so when you go in there, you can poke around. You'll find an alien body. There's a holotape labeled The Truth, which is very Exiles-like. And if you talk, or if you pick up the tape, it will explode. If you go to his talk secret terminal, that will self-destruct. So that's a little unusual. But as you talk to him, he's basically investigating aliens. He also created something called Homer's Aid. And if you ask him to deploy it into the dome, he'll release an aerosol into the air to give you a temporary buff that lasts for 2 hours called Homer's Aid. and it will give you a 5% damage increase against aliens for 2 hours. So if you're grinding the alien event and you want an extra XP boost, go to the dome first, like keep a key on you before this kicks off so you can go right in there, get the buff, and then grind those two spawns of it.
Buff and grind.
But right. the whole weird thing, the emissary encounter was really unusual in terms of there being two completely different ways in which they talked.
I love that. I love just weird stuff that may not ever get explained.
It sounds like that they've incorporated Indrid Cold into the Fallout pantheon of West Virginia cryptids, which I kind of expected for them to, just in some of the clues and things that they had kind of left before. I think that it is pretty smart, because if you actually watch Mothman Prophecies, Mothman only shows up like maybe twice, but most of the time the entity that Richard Gere, famous for Knights and Rodanthony and Pretty Woman, is talking to, that's going to be Indrid Cold over the phone, which Mothman Prophecies is a fine movie. Indrid Cold is maybe not the scariest being, because you never actually see Indrid Cold. He's just kind of hanging around mysteriously and then never shows up. This isn't a great pitch on Indrid Cold, but this sounds better than that. So take that, Richard Gere. Why don't you get your butt in the gear and do something cool, you know?
Get your gear butt in gear. So do you know for sure that these are the only two things that happen when you run into this guy? Or are these just the two experiences you had?
Thus far, they're the only two that I've seen. There could be more. And also, it's important to note, too, that this is PTS. So all of this may change. Like, dialogue may change. The character mm-hmm. may change. Like, all of this is prone to changing. Initially,
what were they named?
They're both called the Emissary. In the game files, they're actually named Man in Black.
Yeah. Interesting. So they're very well could... As I was saying, there could be more stuff and different kinds of experiences when you come across the Emissary than what you've seen so far.
I think that they're going to do more with Homer Saperstein. Like, why would they make such a big deal and create his base of operations where you could go talk to him if it was just going to be like this random throwaway pigger, kind of like Dodge? Would say, hey, it's Dodge, you know, go to Daily Ops, you stupid bastard. but he has like no...
Perfect. He sounded just like him.
Yeah, but he has no purpose. I feel like Homer Saperstein, there may be something more there.
I'm curious when... Expeditions first get introduced to the game, like what that will be, if we'll see more aliens then, if that will kind of be, because this is it's a limited time event, right? This it's like a seasonal,
like Fashnacht, yeah. Moth.
yeah
I mean, there is also some early stuff that dropped in the recent PTS update for Expeditions. But it might even be too early to even talk about it. Essentially, there's, you know, menu designs. In design of it, it's not so much a separate world space as it is just a really huge cell. Unlike the way in which Fallout 76 is built, which is, you know, a world space, this is kind of like a standalone huge cell space that we'll be traveling to go around in. So it's not like it's... in the design of that, people shouldn't get disappointed that it's not like a separate world space. It's just a separate cell from the game where you kind of go to, and it's a whole big world in there.
My expectation has been similar to what I think it started with Far Cry 5. Far Cry 5, 6, and... No, it started with Far Cry New Dawn, which is their post-apocalyptic one, and now it's in Far Cry 6, where they have these... they are actually called expeditions in New Dawn, but they are like... Here is like an area that you go to, and it is like a
Like the one in Far Cry that I played recently was like a zoo. And it's like, here are the little areas in the zoo. You need to go retrieve this package. But it's like, it's a level. There's different ways to complete it and different. And like you can roam around and explore. But it is not like a traditional piece of the world that you're going around. Like you are on a mission. You have kind of a layout. And then you go and get this like slice of world and go hang out. Go do your thing.
Yeah. Just to temper expectations, because I think what people want is something that's like a whole new huge map the size of Fallout 76, and the Pit is not going to be that.
It's not going to be that big. That map, I mean, the map is four times the size of Fallout 4. You know, like,
yeah,
that's gigantic.
So just temper expectations. Like, you're going to want, from the way in which this is designed, it invites you to really go back there frequently with friends for something, but it's too early to reveal and figure out, poor doggy.
Tom has brought his dog onto the show. The dog is wearing a cone around its neck and has a little bandage. And it looks very cute, but also a little sad at the same time.
Poor dog.
She had an operation. She had to get some little bumps removed. And The other dog keeps barking at her, so I apologize. So we're trying to separate them for the show. And
I would like to introduce the fourth member of the Fallout Hub. Tom, what's your dog's name?
This is Pumpkin.
Pumpkin, yes, Pumpkin. Pumpkin has been a Fallout community member for a long time. Has some friends at the Robots Radio Network and is the official fourth member of the Fallout Hub. Pumpkin, what are your thoughts on expeditions?
I like food.
Thank you, Pumpkin. Thanks, Brick.
That was riveting.
Yeah, I think it's good to temper expectations for this, because everyone that is working on like the concept of like a new world is going to be working on Starfield, and then that team is going to be working on Elder Scrolls next. Of like, hey, we need to build maps for things that are big, that are traditional. I think you're going to have them working on that, and then subsequently Fallout 5 of like designing these. Because, I mean, the amount of work put into the original Fallout 76 map was a ton. I mean, it's filled with stuff.
I've got some thoughts real quick. Just real fast. When we got the expansions for the Brotherhood of Steel stuff, and we went to some of the new locations, we had new places to go. They were like underground or in like inside locations, but they were new places. They just didn't exist outside in the world. I think we're going to see similar amounts of new space for some place like the Pit. It just might be like an outside environment rather than an inside or underground like dungeon.
Right.
I think that's probably what we're going to see, is a similar amount of like, hey, you can go around in this environment, talk to people, go into this little area, fight these enemies, go do these things. But it's probably going to be in that kind of a scale, which is, I don't know, not nearly the size of the whole entire map, probably, you know, a tenth of the map, something like that. Not nearly, you know, a big map extension, but another place you can go, talk to people, do things. That's my expectation.
I mean, it also could have some verticality to it in the same way that the Pit did. So if you remember way back to the Pit, you know, you're going down into sewers, down into factories, up into skyscrapers. So just because it's a cell and not this huge map that I think people want, but it's not going to be, doesn't mean that there's not going to be a whole new place to explore and spend a lot of time there.
The other possibility is something like what they did with Vardenfell, or, you know, Morrowind, in the Morrowind game, and translating that to Elder Scrolls Online was an almost one-to-one ratio kind of thing, just scaled for the other game. So when you, for example, when you start Morrowind and you get off the ship and you go into, I'm going to mess up the name of the town, it's very similar when you visit it in ESO. It's a few hundred years in previous to the events of Morrowind, but there's a building and, you know, there's buildings right where they should have been, and you go walk through that area and it's pretty similar. The scale of the island is fairly similar. But it's not exact. And I think if they were to take something like the design of the pit and kind of move it over, because it was a DLC expansion sized zone, and move it over for Fallout 76, and maybe could even take the geometry directly from something like Fallout 3, because it was technically part of the same engine, and just work it into Fallout 76. Maybe that's possible, and retexture the zone and put in new characters and enemies and things. Then maybe you could take that and repurpose it and make it work out. I don't know. I don't know if that's possible, but you could potentially do something like that.
Yeah, like a smaller, like the DLCs for Fallout 4 were big. Well, I mean, the Automaton was just a few different quest locations, which is more along the lines of the stuff that 76 has seen. But Far Harbor and Nuka World were big areas. But I mean, even before
that, Fallout 3, DLCs.
Yeah, Dead Money or the Savage Divide one, the one with Ulysses. Not Savage Divide, that is
awesome.
Lonesome Road, like where you are on kind of a path. And I mean, you can explore around a little bit. Like there's like places.
New Vegas ones? Yeah.
Yeah. And same thing for Mothership Zeta or Operation Anchorage. Like the pit isn't that big of an area,
right?
When you compare it to like Point Lookout or
it's not Far Harbor by any means,
right?
And I think that's and there again is the expectation game. Like I think a lot of players want Far Harbor, like a Far Harbor size map, and I don't think we're gonna get that.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that either. But I would rather have more often expansions and them be smaller than wait longer to get bigger expansions.
Yeah, particularly with how much there is to do in that area. Going back to DC, you know, visiting some of the other places. There's a lot of surrounding areas to check out.
Yeah.
The other cool event that did drop as well, if you ever wanted to beat up robots, you know, like
what
we've all wanted to,
everyone here has wanted to beat up robots.
What did I do? I mean, I tell some bad
jokes.
You
know what you did.
We're looking to move our fourth Fallout Hub member up to the official third one. And so we're going to beat you up.
Oh, you hear that, Pumpkin?
Pumpkin seems excited about the concept.
Or like,
look at the tongue.
Yeah. She's hungry. She hasn't eaten in a day because she's been in surgery.
Aww. Yeah, the other cool event is the new event in which you can actually fight waves of robots, which is kind of cool. So that's another fun event to do. I've only seen it. I didn't get a chance to do that one yet, though I really, really want to.
I love breaking robots. I love how like their pieces fly off and crap. That's always fun to me.
From what I watched, it looked a hell of a lot of fun. That's another cool event that you'll be able to do. And it reminds me a little bit of like Fight Club 76, but instead of players, you're going up against robots. Like it's a gladiator arena, so you're going in there. The doors close. There's like flamethrowers and you know waves of robots. It looks pretty cool.
It sounds cool.
Yeah. Well, do we have a date yet on the DLC?
I do. March.
Just March.
Sometime in
March. Right.
What's your bet? I'm saying, hang on, let me look at my calendar and we're going to put bets down. And then we will be, whoever wins gets a Dave coin. That is,
sweet.
What can you buy
with a Dave coin?
Three Chad coins.
Yeah. You can buy three Chad coins. Ooh. Or, two stocks. Two stocks and stockings.
How many stonks?
That we don't talk about that here. You're gonna have to go to .tor and get on the dark web and deal with that one.
I heard Elon Musk said that he would eat a Happy Meal on stream, like on camera on stream, if McDonald's would take Dogecoin. Can a Dave coin buy a Happy Meal?
The Dave coin can just buy happy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
Which when you read the asterisk and fine print, you actually have to go to one of the few remaining Chuck E. Cheese locations and turn it in for tickets, which then can be used to buy things like a wacky wall walker or a lollipop.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad you all are here for this. I'm very pleased that you're along for this investment ride.
You know what I really want? I'm going to invest in, because I think it's going to come back, our Blockbuster coins for the one remaining Blockbuster location.
I think that is that's a brilliant.
Because idea. I mean, think about it. Just go with me here. Think about it. If they open a second location, you just doubled your value. I mean, that's a good deal.
I'm just going to walk up to people's camps in Fallout 76 and be like, I bought this camp. It was being sold on the metaverse, and now I own your camp.
Yes, I bought an NFT of your camp.
You gotta take a picture of it first.
Yep.
I took a picture of your camp.
I'm gonna put it in the Raiders frame, and then it's mine. That's how that goes.
Works. Start a website called Rad Ocean.
Let's end the show. Let's do it. Let's end the show.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'm sorry that we are totally incompetent when it comes to dates and figuring things out like this. But thank you for tuning in. We hope you have enjoyed the show. If you have, please leave us a review with positive words and 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can do that now. You can drop us a rating on Spotify.
You can also leave us a review that tells us it's 20 minutes before we get to the content. We like those, too.
Yeah, we like those too. But
We front loaded today.
We did.
Sorry about the barking dog. I can't help it. The other dog wants to bark at the dog in the head thing, and I can't keep it from happening. But thank you for tuning in. You guys have anything we want to share before we go out?
Before that, the scoreboard will be winding down in March. Some of the cool new things that came to the scoreboard, though, and one of the cool things that we haven't talked about yet, is the addition of Pirate Radio.
Pirate Radio.
So Pirate Radio is a new radio station that has been added with uniquely written classic radio dramas.
Isn't that already in the game?
It is.
The game.
It's in the game. They're going to keep updating that with new stories with each update. Also with patch 33, we'll be able to build our own pirate radio. So you'll be able to have a radio in your camp so you can shit on a porch with your dog Rusty. Listen to those tales.
Share the Rusty tales. This has been an episode of Pirate Radio.
Yeah. I have some stuff to talk about to kind of show off here that I've got going on in my life. I've got a new podcast. It is a Fallout podcast where we play the Fallout role-playing game, which is a tabletop role-playing game. It's called Rad Rolls. It's on all podcast services. I've got a group of about 5 people together to play this game. Their characters are from the NCR, Capital Wasteland. I've got one guy that is from the Indianapolis 500 track that is from a race car group, and they're on like their own Rumspringa for like building cars.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's all set in an original setting. It's Southern Louisiana, so expect New Orleans-y things. New Orleans is still around. It has a different name. We just put out our first episode last week, and we're doing episodes every Friday. They're not like most TTRPG podcasts you hear, like 3 hours long. Our episodes are just like 50 minutes, so it's like you don't have to, you know, sign off your life to listen to one of these. It's decently sized, and all of the proceeds that we make from any like ads, since there's like 6 people, we're not going to split it. We're just going to put it towards Extra Life, and you can actually donate to our Extra Life, and there's certain tiers to get sent shout outs on the show. Or if you want to like add an NPC to the show and name them like Farty McFart Pants, or you know, just name them after yourself, whatever you want, you can also do that. And that's all through the our Extra Life page that we have.
So awesome.
That's what's going on.
What if your name is Farty McFart Pants?
If your name is Farty McFartpants, I believe that you stink.
That's not fair.
That's just mean, because your Dave. Name
something doesn't
Dave's
mean that you,
mean.
You are. So, oh my god, barky dog. You got anything else going on, Ken?
Yeah, we're writing 3 scripts at once for the Chad Show and working towards the ending of season 2. Which should be around the fall, just before Christmas, which will see us end things in the war for Appalachia. We have some pretty exciting special guests coming up for that. Beyond that, the other thing that I've been up to, though, is something that's not related to anything that nobody here would be interested in. We launched a business podcast at work that I started. That's cool, though.
What's the name of it? We should all go give it some 5-star reviews. That's what I did.
That's hair. So it's me and two industry professionals talking about salon business and things like that, which is kind of dry stuff for Fallout. But I would like, so if you want more Fallout content, shout out to the Fallout Roundtable Show, which is part of the Robots Rocket Club.
Robots Radio Rocket Club.
Twister. Great show. They just launched that. So if you want more discussion content, each week they tackle a different topic. I listened to the first episode and it was really great. I recommend you drop that. Give them a listen and particularly give them a review. So because it's really hard once these shows get out there. They really need the views and reviews. So hopefully get picked up by Apple. So please take time to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some of the members of our community decided they wanted to put a discussion podcast together. Oh my God. And so sorry. Come here. And so they started the Fallout Roundtable. So go check it out. Nice. My dog is really loud. I'm so sorry about this. Come here.
This is good content for radio.
This is great content, guys. I'm so sorry.
Tom runs the Robots Radio Network. He has a bunch of shows that are Lorecast. He is doing the Fallout Lorecast and ESO Lorecast. He just did his 100th episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast and had Kev do it and Juicehead on it. Tom also is doing
a Pisces.
His Twitch streams where he's he's playing Skyrim with his mom. His mom's there. Skyrim together.
Tom's busy.
Yeah.
I'm a busy guy. Also, and I'll try to... Hey, stop! Stop! Oh, my God. Also, we've got a community Minecraft server that we started for the Robots Radio community. So if you want to join us and play Minecraft and do a lot of fun things on there, we voted on a thing, and you can join us. Oh, my, he's so loud. On our Robots Radio Discord, if you want to find the info for the server, come join us on there. And that's it. That's it. We're done. I'm going to make my dog shut up. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about this. Bye, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ariel.
And we're the hosts of the Legend of Zelda Lorecast, a podcast about all things Legend of Zelda, from Aerol to Zora.
And all the fun things in between.
If you're ready to dive deep and learn more about the Legend of Zelda lore and everything surrounding it, come join us on Legend of Zelda Lorecast. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
We hope to see you soon.